If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Make it make sense.
So today, basically, this feature is run by the newsroom.
Thank you.
Ayanda, no, Kathy.
Yeah.
Kalapod is there.
Ayanda will like, go get reliable sources.
Yeah. Katie is the one.
Katie's like, nah. People are knowledgeable.
Ayanda's like, nah, but Katie is here. Yeah.
But I'm a low-hanging fruit.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, like, I mean, I've got it. Let me grab.
So today we're talking about something that is, you know, much as I'm in the media, you like breaking news, ne? If there's something that I've actually tried to stay away from, is be the first one to break news, especially when someone passes on.
Sure.
You know, because I know so many of my colleagues who've killed people. But McMorrison, and other people. And also another thing that really upsets me is, I remember when Offset died, right? People started taking pictures and posting them on social media. It really upsets me because I just think people are so insensitive. You don't think about the immediate relatives of this particular person. And also moving forward, I was giving an example how a year from now, you could be scrolling on social media, and suddenly see a member, a brother, or a cousin of yours, those horrible pictures. So I thought, you know, whoever came up with today's topic, it's not me. I can't take credit. I don't know who it is. But it's something that's really close to my heart. And I'm done, eh?
All right, I'm
done talking.
All right, thank you very much. Yeah, thank you to Jessica, the producer of the show, who came up with today's idea. And I think it's so timely. So part of the reason why we even decided to speak about it today, I'm sure you must have kept up with the news around Liam Payne. He used to be on One Direction. He sadly fell to his death, we understand, from a balcony in Argentina. And TMZ, very known, in some instances notorious, they posted a picture of his body immediately after what took place. And of course, there was backlash because you could easily identify him through certain things like tattoos on his arms, etc., etc. They put up their own defense, but it did raise a conversation around where we draw the line, especially as members of the media, when it comes to responsible reporting around grotesque, sometimes very violent incidents, or people's bodies in instances where they died. So, as you mentioned, Katie Katapotis, she is the editor-in-chief here at Kaya News, has spoken to many audiences around the world about this very issue and many others. So we brought the best here to Kaya Drive 959. So Katie, welcome to the show. We'll see you.
Thank you. Why, thank you. This is my debut on Kaya, by the way.
Can you believe it?
You picked the right show.
Yeah.
All right. So bear with me. I'm interviewing my boss. All right. So Katie, as a start, there are guidelines in the media about how we're meant to go about reporting such incidents at the very least. What are those?
So Ayanda, let me start with what is the overriding guideline. Do no harm.
Yeah.
And if we use that, publishing pictures of bodies, dismembered bodies, dead people, even children, because publishing images of children is not okay. And if it causes any harm, then you know we have a problem. So if as the media, we've got that overriding tenet of do no harm, and we keep that top of mind, then that's the most important thing to me. You take that and you couple it with do not sensationalize. Do not rush to break a story. Glenn, you said it. This whole thing about let's be first. I would rather, and Ayanda, I think you know this policy in the many newsrooms we've worked in together, but especially here at Kaya, rather late and right than first and wrong. I would much rather we independently verify first. And it means we're delayed. You know what? Half an hour delay makes no difference. At least we know that we're sitting with our integrity and our credibility in the back. That, for me, is the most important thing.
Absolutely. It seems that there are clear lines for, you know, media companies, for newsrooms, including the one we work in. But the lines become blurred for individuals, right? We live now in a world where everybody's breaking news. Everybody can run onto social media. And I wonder what kind of responsibility you reckon individuals should carry as, you know, we try, you know, make sure that there is no harm, as you mentioned.
So I love social media, but one of the big curses of social media is everybody wants to trend. Everybody wants to trend. They want to be the first out there, and that causes massive, massive damage because they're not thinking often about the consequences and the repercussions. Remember, when somebody passes away, sometimes the family hasn't been informed. The last thing you want is for the family to be just scrolling on social media, on X, on Instagram, and they see pictures or confirmation. So don't think about trending. Think about families. That's somebody's sister, daughter, brother, mother, grandmother, relative.
Katie, can you open a case against someone that wants to be the first one? Let's say I lose a family member, and Khumuzo is the first one to say, who died from Skumba's family? Can I open a case against them?
If Khumuzo is representing Kaya 959, then you can absolutely go to the BCCSA. There is definitely a case to be made there, and in fact, you can even take some legal action against her. Khumuzo, in her personal capacity, if she's not working at Kaya 959, becomes a bit trickier because there's no BCCSA, there's no press council governing her. But it doesn't mean you don't have the right, Skumba, in your personal capacity, to take action against her and say, you know what, this is not okay, let me go and talk to a media lawyer.
Yeah. You and I have often kind of, you know, wrangled over, for example, Al Jazeera's approach to covering the war in Gaza. I mean, if you watch the channel, sometimes you'll see them without warning in some instances because it's rolling coverage, bodies on, you know, piles of rubbish and things like that. And I don't know, you know, I suppose the question I'm trying to ask is, where do we draw the line? Because I'm sure what Al Jazeera's thinking is we want to make impact. We want to send a message about how bad certain things are. But of course, the flip side of that is that it's jarring at best and difficult to digest.
Ayanda, as the media, we must choose. Do you want to be a journalist or do you want to be an activist? If you want to be a journalist, you've got to put warnings, you've got to say graphic, and you've got to steer clear from publishing and broadcasting these truly, truly gruesome images. It's different when something is live and unfolding in front of you and you don't have that moment to think and to consider. But with a pre-recorded piece or something that you're going back to, we've got to decide, are we journalists to report the facts? And if we're doing that, we have a responsibility. Or are we activists to make a point? And I think that there is a fine line there, and regrettably, some don't get it right in our industry.
Yeah.
But Kenny, have we not let it go on for too long? I mean, I was making an example that even from apartheid state, we've seen, I mean, even when Chris Hani was fatally shot, we've got those images everywhere. Did we not wait for too long for us to even try and contest and rectify and pull back? Because it feels like if somebody hates the picture that they see of me and they want to be an activist against that, that will happen. But if people are too engrossed and they want to know how did Khumuzo die, then nobody cares. And it's like, of course you can get away with this because it's enough that people want to know how it actually went.
Yeah, it's too much. You're absolutely right. It's gone on for too long. And I think the onus is on the individual newsrooms and editors if we're looking at mainstream media. I'll give you an example, and I won't tell you the details, but a recent high-profile death. One of our reporters was in a situation where she got to know how the person died.
Yeah.
And this was not in the public domain. And the person who told her this was very aware that there were cameras in the room and journalists in the room. We, however, made an informed decision not to run that because she called to say, this is what's just happened. What do we do? After careful consideration, we said we're making an informed decision not to run that because it wasn't directly from the family. It was somebody who was somebody who knew, who was connected. Yes, a high profile person told her this, but still, it's not okay. So if we can take responsibility as editors and as journalists in our own spaces, I think, Khumuzo, that's one way of starting to change and to shift things and starting to do things properly. We need warnings on stories. I watched this weekend, and I'm not going to name our colleagues because I don't think it's fair, but really disturbing visuals of the family massacre in the Eastern Cape. And there was not a single warning to say graphic content, sensitive viewers. And I think that's problematic. We've got to start doing things properly.
Yeah, because I also watch CNN a lot. And you know, when there's graphic content, they will warn you. And especially for I hate to see such things. So then I would know immediately that, okay, this is not a go area for you. And I stay away from. And I get the story of Al Jazeera, like, I'm always ready to change channels, you know.
And we have to ask ourselves, Glenn, you know, even in our newsroom, we have to say, when do you be when are you gratuitous? Yeah. And when you've got to pull back. You cannot stick a camera or a microphone in a grieving mother's face. You cannot have a wailing person. And I actually get cold shivers just talking about it. Someone who's just lost a relative. I don't want those wails on radio. I don't want grieving family members on our radio in a way that is not contextualized properly with a warning. And it's got to be short. So you can reflect the mother's pain. Absolutely. But it cannot go on for too long because that becomes gratuitous. Then you've got to ask yourself, what are you doing this for? Is it just for clicks? And are we using this as clickbait?
Sure. Plenty to think about. And hopefully that'll help you also reflect on ways through which you interact on social media.
Thank you very much, Newsroom.
Thank you.
Thank you, Katie. See you next week.
What an honor. Thank you. Thank you.
And are you losing your job to your boss?
Well, what can I say?
Leave a comment. WhatsApp 063-688-0959.
A couple of years back, I think it was in 2014 late or 2015 early, somewhere around there, there was this horrific accident whereby there were a number of cars involved. So this guy, it was about 11 when I was at work, and then my phone sent me a message. I checked Yabonoriki WhatsApp, and the number into my this WhatsApp I can see. Then I checked this video. It's a lot of video of the accident, and then accompanied by the pictures. So one of the people who were trapped in a taxi, his head was leaning more on the window. This guy stood with this thing. We could see this guy's face. I don't know him, luckily. And then Mara, the fact that Motoko video will walk over trip away a good class. It was very much horrific.
Imagine, guys.
Yeah.
Hey?
And easily recognizable.
For the grams. For the grams. I mean, even with when Princess Diana died, you know, because she was being chased by the paparazzi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That horrific accident. I'm sure you saw the car. You know?
It's always point of view those that want to be the first one to report things. There's someone I know on Facebook. When there's an RIP,
yeah,
number one, and sometimes the person that RIP will start P level. That's another thing. Yeah. So you must come back and say, no, the information that I got, who asked you? That's that thing.
I know the hypocrisy, né? You post people on social media when they just died, but when they're alive, you don't post them, acting as if you care. You care about that person, and most of those pictures, né? I don't even like, I just go past them as if they don't even exist.
Yeah, and I would look at it, I think, you know, it's when we have formulated bad habits and we've made them a norm, and it seems cool, it seems okay, then to undo it really takes a great. I think we've been doing this for too long, even before social media is what it is, before it is the machine that it was. We've been doing it, newspapers.
Yeah.
Front page of the newspaper, you would see a horrific image and a hunomar.
Yeah, and I think, I know about, you know, those horrific images. I think the disadvantage that the newspapers had in the past was that if something happened today, they would only publish the picture
tomorrow,
you know, the next day. Social media now is worse.
Yeah.
Because something happens now, it gets published now, thinking, like, you know, do the family members of this person know, you know? Yeah. Why am I posting this picture? But people do it for the likes. Imagine you post that horrific picture and you keep going back to see how many like that picture. Yeah. Think about it.
But think about it. And this is a flip side, me playing devil's advocate.
Oh, devil.
If we never had those pictures and we never had the leeway to post pictures like that, would we have a picture as iconic as the Hector Peterson picture right now?
No, we would not.
So good point. I think it's just, it's one of those fine lines that you are that always towing.
I hear what you're saying.
It becomes, I mean, there's a picture, I remember, I think it even won, what's this thing? Pulitzer Prize, of a child, and then there's a bird that looks like it's about to feed on that child. And that went down as one of the most iconic pictures of, I think, the decade or whatever. We would never, and it was, I think, showing poverty in some of these
Sudan, Africa. Yeah. And we say it's art.
Exactly what I mean. Yeah.
Sometimes they say the pictures are the ones that are telling the story or sending a message out there. Because without pictures, we wouldn't know some of the things that happened.
Yeah.
But at the same time, how is it communicated to us?
Are
we being too sensitive, maybe? Or see, I care, this is sensitive where?
I told you earlier, it's a convenient argument. It depends who is being affected, and then we raise the flag.
Leave a comment. WhatsApp 063-688-0959.
Because I on a social media, they will bulaya opila. They will post an RIP. Osanzana opila olishap. Fresh and chasons, but they will just say RIP without even knowing what happened. And utolor muto meroko ngwa bereka, but they will say RIP. Social media kills you while you're still alive. That is so not right. People just need to be cognizant of what they send. Or what they post, because people do get hurt in the process.
Siyasebenza mfethu, siya resuscitate umuntu ulele phansi, si business CPR. Abantu abahambi bakhosi traffic kulele. Ilane abayiblockwanga, into yokuqala wes u driver uyo keep phone makadlula nje, udlula akhathe nje leyo 60 seconds ufuna ukushutha. Ushutha isithombe uyisaphi leyo video? Into yokuqala uyisaphi? Funny part is izinto maqedwe ukushutha kanje shutha ngisho ne number plate yemoto ayifaka ku social media ipremedi bese discover ngale accident kulama live video wabo mfethu.
Guys, you know what really irritates me about this social media thing is someone would be dying on you know on the ground,
you know?
And nobody knows the phone number, the emergency, but they have the bloody nerve to take pictures of someone who is in need of emergency. That really irks me.
Yeah, even worse, they're not even trying to help.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you're at a game lodge. You know, when you see a lion attacking another animal, then you'll just watch. Because, you know, it's animals. That's how they live.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But, you know, with humans, it's different. Someone is dying. Someone needs help. You're busy taking pictures or a video.
Because you want to be relevant somehow.
No talent whatsoever.
Make it make sense.
With Ayanda Nyati. If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.